Phil Muscatello and FinPods are authorized reps of MoneySherpa. The information in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't take into account your personal situation.
Shares for beginners. Weekend watch list.
G'day and welcome back to Shares for Beginners Weekend Watchlist, where we take a close look at an individual company that you may wish to consider for your watch list. It's not a recommendation to buy, but a way for you to learn how Stockopedia screens for value. Joining me today is Elio D'Amato, and we're talking Data 3, ASX code DTL. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Phil. This is a really interesting one because, of course, everyone's been looking around for the next technology one and their codes TNE and hoping that there will be a company that will reach the upper echelon of the same. And many people had flagged this stock as being one of those that could be very well a key candidate for achieving that. And I'm really looking forward to talking about it today.
And in our preparation, you mentioned that this is a very similar company to Dicker Data that we covered a few weeks ago with Chris. And we've just seen that huge decline this week due to the founder not having a prenup. And, you know, we're both Formula One fans. We're not sure whether it's ex-wives or Formula One teams that are the most expensive.
Always makes it a challenge. When you get these founder-driven and highly led businesses, as it were, there's always a risk that there will be a sell-down in at time in order to account for personal circumstances and things that needs to change in that regard. And that's very much the case with Dicker Data. So what was a key strength of theirs is that strong ownership and obviously a key contributor to their success over time. It also cuts the other way when they do need to sell a block of shares and they do so out of the market, which is really what we want. We don't want them drip feeding it into the market because then that creates downward selling pressure and you get that death by a thousand cuts effect. Whereas when it's a block trade, you do it all at once. You just clean. Yes, you take a big hit in share price, but then it's all done. So look, yeah, we don't want to go into that one too much, but there are obvious reasons as to why that occurred. And that doesn't change the narrative of the business, which in many ways is very similar to Data 3 in DTL because there are a lot of ticks in regards to their forward outlook moving forward. And for quality investors who can maintain that focus on the long term, stocks like this, Technology One, all of them can be talked about the same breath in our view, given the strength of their numbers.
So tell us the Data 3 story then, Elio.
Yeah, so Data 3, to keep it short, they're basically an IT outsourcing business. Now, they've got big aspirations. They want to become larger, as all companies do, I suppose, and they want to involve themselves in the entire life cycle of a business's IT needs, which, to be frank, in this modern age is to perpetuity when you think about things like AI and the next big thing and the next big thing. After that, there'll always be something for companies to invest in from a technology perspective, and Data 3 want a key part of that pie. So when we look at this business, there's a lot to really like about it. They're not the most exciting or sexy stock, but they do deliver period on period. And we can see that particularly with regards to its high quality score. We currently rank that at 97, but of course that has been consistently high for quite some time. And the key reasons for that are the strong return on capital and the strong return on equity results that they both achieve. Obviously, these are capital-light businesses. They employ relative to the work they got on hand, and therefore they're able to generate very strong returns on the back of the capital that they initiate. But all in all, the numbers continue to look good. We see consistent sales growth, consistent profit growth, and of course, as you would expect from a company like this, consistent cash flow growth over time. And if they're able to maintain and continue up with the pace of that, then we feel long-term investors in someone like a Data 3 will do well.
And there was a pretty significant crash in the share price in early February. What caused that?
Yeah, of course. We need to remember first that share prices always move between over-pessimism and over-exuberism. And the reality is often somewhere in between. And I think we saw a lot of that with Data 3, where leading up to the announcement, its share price virtually went parabolic. The share price started running, you know, with gay abandon, as it were, and it just didn't stop until that point, as you mentioned, the report came out. Unfortunately, in that half-year result, they weren't able to improve margins on a year-against-year basis. Trailing 12 months, which is how we measure those numbers, they actually did increase operating margins. But Nonetheless, that fact that margins were still under strain, and we know that's the case because the cost of doing business has gone up across the board. Obviously, that really hit Data 3 and its share price sort of went over pessimistic. Now, of course, that was the big hit. We all saw that. And chances are, when you ask yourself, what do I do now? It's already probably too late. So when you see that hit, the next option is then to sit there and wait for the actual numbers to be analyzed. So that's looking at the balance sheet, the profit and loss, the cash flow statement, all those boring things, as it were, in order to identify whether this is still an opportunity. And really looking at the cold hard facts, Data 3 still looks pretty good. I talked about quality. The momentum, notwithstanding that pullback, has now seen the price rebound as well. So that continues to be a key driver of performance. So I think what we're seeing now are analysts that are thinking maybe there's a bargain to be had. Now, look, the value score is still 51, I think it is, or 53, which is still not of an optimum. But then again, with a business like Data 3, you've got to pay to play. And often such pullbacks in the stock provide opportunities once we do get a chance to analyze the cold hard facts of a company and to actually see whether they are still performing or not, which in the case of Data 3, they are still doing that in our view. And again, that long-term narrative hasn't changed. We continue to expect big things of them moving forward.
Yeah, you mentioned that value score of 51, but that actually contrasts to a lot of companies that we cover on the podcast. And, you know, they're great, great companies, but their value score is around 10 or something, or even 6. And, you know, it's just waiting to get in there at that good price. So do you think it is a fair price at the moment? Without any recommendation to buy, of course.
Well, it's not as cheap as what it was a week ago, I think is the easiest way for me to describe it, Phil, because ultimately, with good businesses, we need to remember we have to pay to play. Of course, I could buy a pretty cheap four-bedroom home in the outskirts of my inner local city, or alternatively, I could buy in the middle of town that same house, but I would have to pay two or three times more. Often when you want to deal with quality businesses, you do have to pay to play because they are such quality. If they weren't quality businesses, then often that is reflected in the market's opinion of that. And you'll see not only a big pullback in the value score where the stock ends up being cheap, notwithstanding its good underlying operations, but if it's still got something grey clouds on the horizon, you're going to find that there is a bit of a discount there. So that value score may very well pick up. And then, of course, you'll see that often reflected in the momentum score, where, again, irrespective of how good it is, the share market may not like it for a time for whatever reason, and therefore it just doesn't get that momentum supporting it. So often looking at stocks is a bit of a kaleidoscope. We do need to look at each of the individual factors that drive returns, and we need to understand what it is that's making them tick, because those stocks like WiseTech and ProMedicus, in a heartbeat, for many investors out there, they'll just shake their heads and say, no, never. Yet here they are saying that when the share price has gone up 3, 4, 5, even 6 times from when they first looked at it. And that's because of their underlying quality. So you're right, Phil. Normally when we look at quality businesses, it often gets a lot more of a challenge to try to identify value. And when you see big price drops, assuming the company's still quality, they do create opportunities for savvy investors. And we think that was the case with Data 3. That has been further reinforced by looking at the numbers and seeing that they are actually quite solid and very strong, and we're still very happy with them. And yes, we're quite comfortable paying to play when it comes to those quality stories, and hence why so many of them make their way into the podcast. Inevitably, stocks that represent great value will have that skeleton in the closet. And we end up talking a lot about that in this program.
Last year's annual report noted that there were staffing problems in the IT sector, and there's been a great resignation, and there's an excess demand for staff and an undersupply of candidates. And I think we also saw this week the boss of WiseTech has put together an educational program as well to encourage more STEM students for this sector. Mm. I mean, this seems to be something in this sector that is impacting. I mean, I've got a nephew who moved to Melbourne to get a job in cybersecurity, and recently his salary was doubled just to keep him there. Is this having any sort of material impact on Data 3?
Oh, look, it does always. I mean, this is the great thing about investing, and what I love about it is that we're not just investing in inanimate three-letter codes floating in space. They're actually real businesses with real-life situations, and stocks like Data3 and WiseTech, as you mentioned, are identifying one of the key problems they all have at the moment, and that is brains. It's really hard and expensive to acquire brains. And notwithstanding that there's a stack of work, just like the building industry, there's a stack of work, but so many builders go broke. Well, how does that work? Just like that, the IT industry has a stack of work on the go, but its biggest challenge is identifying talent in order to drive those businesses and to create the new next big thing and to save companies millions of dollars. These items here are pretty harsh. So in that example you mentioned about your nephew keeping out the Russians or Chinese or whichever dark, sinister force you want to put in there, that absolutely makes sense. It is absolutely a fight at the moment for talent because, of course, as with any business, you've got your general workers and your doer bees, and they just continue to progress. As you go up the food chain, they become more and more scarce. And because of that scarcity, particularly in this environment, everyone needs IT, it becomes so much of a challenge to acquire that talent. One of the advantages that Data3 have, however, is that when they set up their contracts, their books for work and what the like has occurred, they are aware as to what their costs are going to be. So quite frankly, unless they're intending to be negligent or fraudulent, they can actually price in the future expenses that they're about to occur. So with regards to a rising cost of the work base, they can actually add that to their contracts. And that doesn't solve their problem of finding talent. That's something the company has to do and solve as part of just running a business in a live open market. But in regards to the costing out, they can actually add that to their invoice and do so accurately, which again further enforces this idea that whilst margins in the latest half year didn't improve, at least they'll be able to be maintained. And when they're achieving such a strong return on capital, and look, let's face it, it's not much of an economic moat for those that like to look at it, because to fix someone's IT problems is really not that hard to do. All you need is money, which is actually quite hard to get. But good to see that Data3 have plenty of it and they're able to fill those contracts that they have. And they are winning new business. So notwithstanding the challenges of finding staff, I'm comfortable they could still price that into their existing contracts and still do so quite effectively. And yes, they could be making more, but they could be making a hell of a lot less.
Are you picking shares on gut instinct, buying on press tips or rumours? Do you struggle to find the time to keep up with the research and analysis that goes into evaluating potential stocks? Stockopedia are pleased to offer a special deal to listeners of this podcast, a 14-day free trial and a 10% discount on the first year of membership. Sign up now at y.stockopedia.com/sfb. There's no better time to access the most comprehensive, easy-to-use investing toolbox for DIY share investors. 10% off, 14-day free trial, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's y.stockopedia.com/sfb. And I just noticed on the Stockopedia screen that the company qualifies for the James O'Shaughnessy Cornerstone Growth Screen. And you kind of alluded to the thinking behind this in the way that you're looking at the value of this company. But he says, and I just think it's always worthwhile thinking about great investors and the wisdom that they impart. And when I dug a little bit deeper, I found that he wrote, "Marrying good value characteristics with price momentum is an excellent way to find cheap stocks on the mend."
Yeah, I mean, that's really one of the strengths of Stockopedia. You see, many people may very well think that our view on the world is our view, and we stand on the pulpit, we preach to the masses, and they basically take in what we say, which of course is not true. All we do is simply look at the numbers through the lens of the investing giants whose shoulders we stand on, including James O'Shaughnessy, that you've just touched on, a very successful fund manager out of Europe. And obviously someone we want to listen to, given that they've walked the talk, as it were, and made a lot of money. And this stock comes up in that screen. And as you say, it's not for us to poo-hoo whether they're right, wrong, indifferent, all those sorts of things. All we want to do is have the basic hard facts put in front of us to allow us to make informed decisions. As I alluded to earlier, Phil, If you ask yourself, what do I do now? It's already too late. So inevitably, the reporting season should only be about highlighting the fruits of the labor of your businesses that you've chosen to invest or put your family's future prosperity into. Now, hopefully they shoot the lights out. Great if they do. It's unfortunate if they don't. But it's only when the cold hard facts of numbers are put through a system, ratios are calculated and then analyzed, that we can actually determine as to how a company has performed. And in this instance with Data3, if we just look at share price, you may have thought initially the report was a disaster. But when you analyze the numbers and go, oh, hang on, this wasn't as big a disaster as the price would indicate, that may very well determine value, and hence why you've seen the support come back into share price. And actually, you do touch on the fact that value is now at 51, which is interesting because after that price decline, it was actually better than that. So obviously, as the share price has begun the steady rise back up to where it was, hopefully, we hope it gets there, that value score gets less and less because, of course, value is diminished when the share price goes up, and vice versa if the other case there. So it's just one of those things we need to understand about the share market and what drives our stocks. Interesting you mentioned that filter because, if we were trading our Australian market, I dare suggest Data3 would be on James's radar for sure.
Well, let's dig into those numbers. What do the financials look like? Looks like a pretty solid growth rate and solid balance sheet as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we're talking about sales growth, that's a big tick there. We use trailing 12-month figures, Phil. So what we do is when we look at a business, we incorporate the latest 6 months of the results in order to try to provide an overall picture. And whilst sales, when you incorporate that latest half year and the slower down in the second half last year, there was a slight decline from the previous year, but that's going to be turned on its head, according to forecasts, quite quickly. But as you touched, much of that is hitting the bottom line. So we're seeing profit growth continue for the business, and that's been rather consistent. And the stock trades on a PE of 32 presently. For those that like to look at forecasts, at 30. So notwithstanding, this lies to that value metrics, where the value metric isn't all that great, because again, with such quality numbers of a business like this, you know, we're talking about return on capital employed at 64%, return on equity of, say, 61%. I mean, when we see figures like that, Phil, we are absolutely talking about a high-quality business. And that's important, you see, because, I mean, when we look at the dividends, the company doesn't have a history of paying very strong dividends. The yield is currently around 2.8 to 2.9%, which is nice. I mean, it's better than a kick in the teeth, but it's definitely not something you're going to retire on. But what you hope, of course, is that over time, as the earnings grow and they compound that, then that dividend will increase as well. So therefore, whilst the current dividend rate may be low, the future dividend rate could be higher relative to the price you bought it at because of this compounding effect. And they do retain quite a bit of their earnings, which you sort of expect. I mean, retained earnings are the cheapest form of financing for a business. So therefore, retaining more of that and reinvesting it into the company. And if they're achieving over 60% return on capital employed, I'd rather them invest in that and keep growing that rather than me try to figure out where I'm going to get 60% elsewhere. So these are all very strong metrics that you want to see from a company of this ilk. The company is cash positive, so it continues to generate cash. Net debt is actually in a negative position, which means it has more short-term assets than it does long-term assets. And as you allude to, that forecast is actually quite solid. When I look at the analyst fraternity, and this is a key metric in our momentum measure, the analyst fraternity is a little bit mixed. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that the company is still somewhat of a hold because, of course, for all of us counting our numbers, we just probably think the stock's too overvalued. The earnings per share trend moving forward went up, sort of went down, and then up, and then now it's gone down a little bit, which is symptomatic of a stock that's pretty much priced to do well. And we've seen that with regards to the price correction that we experienced. So all of those factors combined generate our overall score that we come up with regards to Data3, which, you know, is well and truly in the 90s, which means it's in the upper echelon. of our stocks out there, a stock ranking of 91, which is what Data 3 actually has, means that there are 9 levels above it and still effectively about another 100 or 200 companies to look at. So this is no island, but at the very least, they've produced a good solid half-year result. We've had a chance to look at the numbers. Everything still looks okay, notwithstanding that you got to pay to play in regards to a higher PE or, you know, you say even EV to EBITDA. I know that's a common value measure a lot of people look at. That's currently 18 at the moment, which is middle of the road for the industry, but definitely poor when you look at it from a broader market sense. So anyway, back to the narrative. When you're healthy, when you're quality, when you're growing, you're going to be priced well. But yes, of course, the market, you know, acts first and thinks later. And we've seen that with Data 3 in our view. When we've had a chance to look at the cold numbers, we're actually quite comfortable with it.
So what do you reckon the risks are moving forward?
I mean, you touched on the risks, Phil. The big one is staff. The good news is that a company like Data 3 can turn the tap on or off. So when there's a lot of work, they employ more people. When there's no work, they just sack people. So they do have a strong lever when it comes to controlling costs. But what they've got to pay for each person in order to fund a contract, that is obviously a risk. I mean, with any company that provides these sorts of services, work in hand is crucially important. So they need to keep growing that and maintaining that. And then, of course, what they don't want is a contract which is completely mispriced, where, you know, with many failures in the past, we've seen contracts end up costing more than all the future work in hand that they have. So therefore, it's impossible to actually stay afloat because effectively to fulfill a contract will cost them more than any money they will make moving forward. So that is really the key risk in Data 3. Oh, that and, of course, us, you know, developing a theory that technology is not going to rule the world or that we're going to revert back to pencils and paper, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. So if we can exclude that as a more minimal risk, I think the biggest risk is really around human beings and finding people to actually do the work. Of course, that may be somewhat mitigated by the emergence of AI. We shall soon see. But at the moment, that is probably the biggest risk that we see in regards to DTL.
Elio Di Marto, thanks very much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Bill.
And hopefully someone can beat Max Verstappen this year.
Oh, mate, I know. Tell me about it. When he won a Guinea Bar, I'm like, oh, for God's sake, seriously, can't be watching last year again this year. So, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Shares for Beginners. You can find more at sharesforbeginners.com. If you enjoy listening, please take a moment to rate or review in your podcast player or tell a friend who might want to learn more about investing for their future.